Well, good morning. I am so happy to be here today with you. Thank you so much. God bless you. Be seated. God bless you guys. I'm so thrilled to be back. You know, this is it's home. I'm a member of this church. A lot of you may not know that. But if you've been around a while, I became a member, I bet it's been 30 years ago, long time ago. And I just love you. I'm so glad to be here. That means I love you in sign language, but my thumb got blown off, so. I speak sign language with a lisp. I'm thumb-tied. Did you get it? And there was no Dane Bramage. Well, I can tell you're listening. Boy, it's good to be back in Grand Rapids and be with all of you. Pastor, I love you and your wife. I've reminded him of this. I think every time we visit, if we have 5 minutes together, I remind him. One of the turning points in my life in ministry was when he spoke to some 30,000 people at the General Council for the Assemblies of God on a message out of the book of Esther for such a time as this. Transformed my life. And you cannot get a finer couple that God has placed in leadership as your lead pastor. I love your family and your pastor and his wife. Yeah, boy. Amen. Amen. Well, since I last saw you, forgive me if I talk about myself a minute, but I've got friends here that would like to know some of the things that have happened. I like to stay up with things that happen in my friends' lives. I've had six more surgeries, bringing my total surgeries to 56. And this year, 13 months ago, actually, I don't mean calendar year, but within the last 12 months, I've had six operations. They rebuilt my face, and all of my friends would know that I only had one nostril, because the other one was blown off. Well, look here. It's a boy. I'm so proud of it. I have a nose and I have lips now on my eyelids. I can even wink a little bit. This is so important to me because actually I got to where I couldn't breathe at all through my nose and it was damaging my respiratory and my eye wouldn't blink and the eye was drying out, and I went to get my eye fixed, and they said, we can fix your mouth. I said, okay. And then they said, we can fix your neck. I said, okay. They said, we can fix your nose. Okay. What they're going to do, they're going to finish, and Jesus will come the next day. My luck. But I'm just glad. I'm going to tell you a little story about operation number 50. It was 12 hours long, and three teams of doctors, not three doctors, three teams. I mean, they were going after me. And they finished, and I woke up with this terribly powerful drug, same drug that killed Michael Jackson and Prince. They didn't take right dosages, I guess. But mine was administered by a doctor. And when I woke up, I was so confused. I thought a lion was eating my face. It hurt so bad. And my wife, when I woke up, I was panicked. And my wife, who sends her love, and of all churches to not be able to attend this Sunday, this one broke her heart, but we have a big session coming up, and she had to stay and get things ready for it with our military. But she reached over, she just laid her hand on mine, and the minute she touched me, instantly, I was recentered. I knew where I was, everything's fine. And my doctors, yeah, there's something about laying on hands. Don't you ever think there's not. The human touch is priceless. And so the doctors were looking at me, and I'm looking back at them, and they're talking, and they're pointing at my face. They said, it was a great surgery. It came off wonderful. Dave, it's good. And I'm thinking, wow, I must look good. And this is what they were looking at. They can put that picture up for you. It's only going to stay there about 5, 4, 3. Take it down. I can't stand to look at it. That's what I looked like a year ago. And when I stood up and I saw that, I looked at those doctors and I said, what Stone Age medical university did you get your degree from? I felt like they operated on me with a jackhammer. Reminded me of that song, said, Maggie, get a hammer, there's a fly on the baby's head. What were they thinking, saying it looked good? And I looked at Brenda, I said, get me out of here, take me home. And she did, and I got home and I shut the door behind me. I said, nobody walks through that door and comes and sees me but Matt, our son, to pick up my cold, dead body off the floor. Nobody. And my phone started ringing as laying on the table. I looked down, I said, American Airlines. And I'm a spokesman for American Airlines now to work with. They help me with my warriors. They fly them in on American Airlines. And I speak for all their charities. And my partner's Gary Sinise, Lieutenant Dan. I like him a lot. And I looked at that, and I knew they're going to say, we have a project, we got a mission for you. And my wife just turned white because she heard everything I said about nobody walks in that door. So I pushed answer, and they said, Dave, we got a job for you, we got a mission, we'll send you on. I said, where is it? Who is it? When is it? And what is it? Snowball Express, we have 1,600 kids. Every one of their daddies were killed in the global war on terror, and they and their mommies want you to come speak to them. What am I going to say? Oh, no, my faith. You can't do that. Okay, I lost my faith. They lost daddy. Come on. You know, you just, I said, okay, when and where? My wife looked at me, her eyes were big. She said, what about that door? Women. You can't live with them and you can't live with them. I said, I didn't say nobody goes out that door. Man's got to do what a man's got to do, you know. So when we hung up talking, they gave me all the information. She said, we got a problem, don't we? I said, yeah, I need a mask. So we checked with Phantom of the Opera because he has half a mask. It was the wrong half. So we made one. Brandon and I went to work, and we manufactured a little mask that would cover the damaged parts that was so bad. And I put it on and I went. I went backstage, you know, and all the airline executives from American were there and they're hugging on me and they're my friends and they love me and they say, Dave, we know it's not easy. And they were acknowledging and that meant a lot to me. And then they gave me this girl to introduce me. And she was beautiful. She was like all her parts were in the right places. And she's arm candy and walking me out there to introduce me. And I'm thinking, oh no, these kids are gonna think the beauty and the beast. And the Lord spoke to my, I know it came from God because God has a lot of fun with me. He really does. I mean, my ear falls off when I'm preaching, all kinds of things. He has a lot of fun. I stuck it back on in Jamaica. It fell off when I was preaching. I put it back on. They all got saved. They thought it was a miracle. So I'm walking out and I'm thinking, and the Lord kind of said, you can't call this girl a beast in front of all these kids. And so I thought, okay, that's funny. I'm okay. And did you know what? It brought me out of a dark place. And I couldn't help but think Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. And Humpty Dumpty had a big fall. And all the king's horses and all the king's men, they're trying to put Humpty back together again. But one day, along came the king, Humpty's back. And don't you forget it, Humpty's back. And if I can make it, you can make it. There's no excuse for us not to be happy in life and have joy. Don't ever lose your joy. Always be happy and don't worry. Give the Lord a clap offering in his house this morning. Well, I got a lot to share with you, but I want Kathy to come. Kathy and her husband, David, have traveled with me for 28 years, and there's a particular song that I wanted sung this morning, and if I like, well, she's been singing for me for 28 years, and I asked her to sing this song, but I want her to greet you. Kathy is really in a position, as I get older, I know I'm going to have to transition, and so I've allowed her as though it was my choice, but actually, she goes out and preaches on her own all over the country. And over in the Northeast, she's really knocking them dead in some of the greatest churches in our country over there. One of the churches that she speaks in is in Reading, Pennsylvania, 6,500 on campus every Sunday. And she knocks them dead. She's a great preacher. But I wanted to sing for you a song that means so much. You know, we have anthems of America, like the national anthem, or songs that are like the national anthem. You know, there's just so many things that we identify with music. The church has anthems, such as Amazing Grace or How Great Thou Art. One of the greatest songs of any era is one of my favorites. And it's the question I ask, is it well with your soul? But she sings the answer, it is well with my soul. Give Kathy a nice welcome.
Thank you. It's so good to be here this morning. I was rereading the story of David and Goliath the other day, and a verse in that passage stood out to me like it never had before. And I thought of it in terms of this song today, and I just want to share this scripture to set up this song. There's a place in there where David is going out to fight Goliath, and King Saul comes to him, and he gives him his armor to put on. And David puts on King Saul's armor, and it didn't fit him right. It was probably much too big, and it wasn't his armor. It was King Saul's armor. And the Bible says in this passage that he put this armor on and that he walked around for a moment. And he walked around, and he checked it out, and he came back to King Saul, and he took the armor off, and he gave it back to King Saul, and he said, I'm not going to use this. It hasn't been tested. Church, I want to tell you this morning that when you're about to face the Goliath of your life, when you were going to fight the biggest thing that you were fighting, health, finances, whatever the need may be in your life, it is not the time to put your faith in something that has not been tested. It's the time to lift your hand and hold tightly to the hand of the one who never changes, who cannot change, and who will not change. And when we do that and we put our faith in him, no matter what happens and no matter what the outcome, we can say with absolute certainty in our hearts that it is well with my soul. When my faith shall be sad.
That's the way I like it. Oh, I like that. It is well with my soul. Thank you, Kathy. I'm going to get her to help me right quick. We'll do a fast commercial. She has three beautiful albums on her table back in the foyer. If you don't have her music, get some today. I promise you it'll bless you. We have a brand new DVD just released. Thanks so much. A brand new DVD just released from a little missions church in Fort Worth, Dallas area called Gateway. And Pastor Robert Morse is a great friend. 33,000 people that Sunday morning. And how they responded was so classic. We made a video of it, and it's available to you. It's something you will enjoy, and you'll enjoy sharing. Also available are six DVDs on 17 issues or 17 programs on six DVDs, and these won the International Telly Award. You'll see why when you watch them. One program, and I'll just tell you about it. It's all of us are burned, every one of us. So we nicknamed it the Crispy Critters. I thought you'd like that. That's crazy. But it's great television that will inspire you and make something special you can share with your friends. Also, many of you have this. It is the autobiography, Scarred. We started writing it during the Reagan administration. And Ronald Reagan and I became great friends through a crazy, bizarre incident. And until he lost his memory, he and I were in touch. He endorsed my book along with Dr. Billy Graham. I think if they like it, you will too. It's a great book. And another one called War and Recovery. This book is warrior stories that fill the heart. Let me tell you something. You do not have to go to war to get hurt. I went to war, I got hurt, I came home with a purple heart. You went to divorce court, got hurt, came home with a broken heart. And a broken washer, and the ex got the dryer, and it worked. Because life isn't fair. This book, every story, is intertwined with powerful scripture that substantiates that word into your life, and it can be a blessing to you. It's a great book. If you don't have it, pick it up. And then finally, we have a wonderful shirt recognizing our program, Operation Warrior Reconnect. Department of Defense sends to me on active duty our wounded warriors from around the country. And I'm telling you, they believe in our program. We have the best program in the nation for our warriors today. I promise you, it's amazing. And since I said wounded warrior, I want to tell you something. I am not, have not been, and never will be part of the Wounded Warrior Project. Keep that in mind. Don't associate me with them. Nor do I take any federal funding. No grants from the federal government have ever come into our pocket. Because the day you let Uncle put money in your pocket, Uncle owns you, doesn't he? And he would tell me, I can't speak of my faith in Christ, so I'm not selling my freedom of religion for 30 pieces of silver. Thank you. Thank you for understanding. I appreciate that. Sometimes I have to sit down when I talk. It was in 2010, I broke my back in a bad jump from a helicopter in Iraq. And when I hit so hard, it shattered six vertebrae. I mean, and my leg went paralyzed. And I was on a brace. I wore a brace for 2 years. And about a year and a half ago, the Lord just spoke to me and said, take that thing off. You don't have to have it. And I took it off, and I thought maybe, Lord, you had the wrong Dave Reaver. But you know what? Look here. I can stand, and my foot works, and I got an artificial knee. Then I have these 12 screws and two rods up my back, and then I have a steel braid that holds my chest together inside of me, and a steel bar that holds my ear on, and a clear plastic lens over my eye because my eyelids don't blink right. When I die, they're going to open the Ace Hardware at the cemetery. Come get your parts. You bought them. Yes, you did. You gave it the office and didn't know it. It's called taxes. I'm retired from the Navy, which brings me to a point. When you buy these materials, zero, not one penny, not royalties or anything. I've never taken royalties. Every penny and dollar goes to help our warriors find their way home. When they don't have any legs, we put them back on their feet. And that's the joy of my life right now. I love doing it. I love it because so many of them come, they're shattered. They're like, we've had guys come, fourth marriage, three children, and none of them have the same last name. And their lives are so wrecked and ruined. And now our biggest success with the Department of Defense, our biggest success, you know what it is? Restoring broken marriages of our wounded families. 85% divorce rate. We're stopping it. We're turning it around. God's given us favor. And I love my job. Boy, I tell you, I see progress. I get to see the progress. It's not like when you travel and speak like I've done all my career. You love them and leave them. You don't get to see the progress. What we do with this program. And I still travel every Sunday. I do about 600 programs a year, and I'm gone about 300 days a year. And so I'm a homeless vet too. But you know what? I'm so proud of you. I am so proud of you. You stepped up when you saw the need. You stepped up and helped my compadres, my buddies. You helped them. I'm proud of you. I salute you. And forgive the left-hand salute. When I salute right hand, they think I'm suggesting suicide, but I'm really not. But we are a suicide prevention counselor with the military, and my work with the Department of Defense is I'm a contractor, but my identification is I am a resiliency coach in the Comprehensive Soldier Fitness Program. Any military in this room, active duty, knows exactly what I'm talking about. And they send me all over the world, every hellhole where there's a warrior that's hurt and he's considering taking his life, they'll send me to him. I mean it, folks. They'll gladly spend whatever it takes to send me anywhere in the world. Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Oman, Qatar, UAE, Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, Bosnia, Kosovo, South Korea, and I can go on in places I can't tell you. Oh, I could, then I have to kill you. No, that's a bad joke. But they send me there because one special operator, and I work almost exclusively with the Special Operations Command, and because that's what I was in the military whenever I was in. I was a SWCC sailor, Special Warfare Command, U.S. Navy, on a little riverboat deep in the jungle of Vietnam. And I'll get to that in a minute. For those of you that don't know me and I don't know you, I'd like to fill in some blanks for you. But they'll send me to that guy because they got $1 million invested on an average in that warrior. For him to not be encouraged and him take his life, it's a loss financially. But I don't look at it from the commerce side. I look at it from the soul side. We just can't lose anymore. One a day, every day on active duty to kill themselves. 22 a day among our retirees. We got to stop that. There's so much more to live for. I'm 71, going on 50, and Hollywood says 50 is new 30, and according to Common Core math, I'm 20. Stay young, my friend. Stay young. Never grow up. My wife said I didn't. She said, actually, I'm 19. But isn't it fun being saved? Aren't you glad you know Jesus? How many churches do you think this morning have laughed more, clapped more, rejoiced more, sung more? Which, by the way, you got the best music in town. This is great music today. Awesome. I don't know why you got the drummer behind bulletproof glass. And that little girl leading worship just knocked my hat in the creek. Boy, I tell you, she's got a voice. You guys, you got it all. What more do you ask for? Just keep on keeping on. I go to some churches, they start out with, y'all pray for us while we try to sing. And they start singing. I start praying. It's bad. Oh, Jesus, heal my ears. But I grew up in church, and my mother, when I was born, almost died, and she never recovered. She actually did die from it many years later, but she couldn't take care of me properly when I was born. And we had a Mexican nanny. Her name was Maria Rubio. And I didn't learn English until I was 6 years old. They said I had to learn English to go to school. And they told me I wasn't a Mexican. I didn't believe them. It took me several months to get my Hispanic mind around the fact that I was not a Mexican. And it gave me I was very bilingual, very bilingual. Right up to where I went trained for Vietnam, but because I had to do interrogations, I had learned Vietnamese. And then my personal pronouns in Vietnamese and Spanish started getting confused. And no telling what came out of my mouth. They said, well, you're Pentecostal. I speak with many tongues. Nobody understands me but God. Amen? And so I grew up in a very peaceful home, no television. I never saw violence. You know, I was virgin when I married, and I've never done a drug. And my friends used to say, how come you did that? I said, well, we didn't have a TV. You learn all that from television. And I didn't, so it went quiet in here. Boy, y'all just dropped dead right there, didn't you? Listen, you say, well, I'd never teach my kids that. When you turn on the TV and that stuff comes on and you don't hit the off button, you just taught your children what those people were saying. And that's something to think about. So I fell in love when I was 16. I asked her to marry me, and she slapped me. And she said, but I'm only 13. I said, but you have the body of a 14-year-old. And she slapped me again. It was a rough start. She said, but if you love me, away from me. And I said, I'll pick you up at 10. I can't wait. I knew what she meant. So we waited. When she graduated, we got married. And I kissed her goodbye at the airport after all my training. I kissed her goodbye at the airport, and I can still taste the salt of the tears on my lips. I mean that. It's as real right now as it was the day I kissed her goodbye. I walked about 5 steps away, proud of myself, no tears, man's man, rough, tough. And she called me by my emotional name. She said, Davey. And I stopped, and before I could turn around, tears filled my eyes. I was so mad at myself. I spun around, and I said, what? And scared her. She said, are you coming back? That one got me. And I looked at her, and I said, I'll be back without a scar. Where'd that come from? Why can't I just say, I'll be back? Then I'll be governor of California. No, I do this scar thing. I believe it was God's way preparing me for what was coming. But I said it, and I knew when I said it, I made a promise I cannot keep. Statistics were, our little organization, I was a brown water black beret assigned to and trained by SEAL Team 1. I was in Vietnam with the highest KIA per capita group in the war. But it doesn't show it on the record, because if they don't recover the body for 7 years, it's MIA. And when I said to her, I'll be back without a scar, I felt something inside me. So you just made a promise you can't keep. 8 months later, that unfortunate promise was broken. And I remember the 23rd of July, 1969, was my first injury. It was minor, but I had to be medevaced, get steel out of my right eye. They didn't want me to lose my eye, and I didn't want to lose my eye. 3 days later, I'm back on the same place on the river that I was injured in 3 days earlier, and it would be the Waterloo for my service to the military. I beached the boat, and I felt something was wrong. It was a little fiberglass river boat. Made movies about it. One of them was called Apocalypse Now, and more recently, a movie called Acts of Valor. And that little boat was made of fiberglass. You could shoot a pistol through it. What kind of armor is that? Our armor was our speed. We could get out of a situation or move so fast they had a hard time tracking with us. But that day it wasn't moving, it was beached. I crawled in the forward gun tub, and I felt something wrong. You know, how do you explain that? You couldn't see them, hear them, or even smell them, but you knew they were there. It's like a sixth sense is developed after you've been in combat long enough. And I reached down and I picked up a white phosphorus hand grenade that burns at 5,000 degrees Fahrenheit, and I pulled the pin. I drew back to throw. I was 1 second from delivery, but I didn't know I was in the crosshairs of a sniper. Shooting at my head, he missed, and he hit my hand and blew the grenade right here. Many of you in this church know this story well enough. I could give you my artificial ear and put you on the road, couldn't I? But I'm going to tell you something. It's as real right now to me as if this is the first time I ever told it. 3 weeks ago, I was on that same river at that same place on the border with Cambodia telling the same story to a television camera for Trinity Broadcasting. It's more real right now than I can even tell you. I can almost smell my own flesh burning. And the grenade blew. I went blind in my eye, deaf in my ear. And I looked down. My face was on my boots. And I looked closer, and I could see my heart beating. I'm on fire, and my thought was, get in the water, get in the water, get in the water. And I jumped in the water, and I continued to burn, because phosphorus burns in water. You can't extinguish it. It has to burn itself out. And I surfaced, and when I did, I inhaled, and I sucked that fire right down into my bronchial tubes. I'm not even supposed to talk much. I'm not even supposed to be alive much less talk. And when I spoke, a ball of fire came out of my mouth. And these are the exact identical word for word words that I said. God! And fire came out. I still believe in you. First words. I didn't say it because God didn't know it. I didn't say it because I was trying to convince him of something. I said it because I had three guys watching me burn that day, and I didn't want them thinking God did this to me. I want them to know I love that God that I served, and he wouldn't do that to me. This is war, and people get hurt in war. We do to each other what God never thought of, and we teach the devil most of what he knows. The heart of man's deceitfully wicked above all things, who can know it? So I said, God, I still believe in you. One of the boys I witnessed to 8 months gave his heart to Christ right then, right there on the bank of that river. 8 months I had sowed, and I finally got my first convert in Vietnam. So helicopter picked me up. My skin was everywhere. I was beside myself. Did you like it? Here's another one you're like, I needed to pull myself together. If you're in junior high, you really like that gross stuff. Well, the helicopter landed, and they rolled me onto the stretcher and took off running. The stretcher caught fire. It ripped open. Fell right out on my head. You ever have one of those days? They rolled me up in wet blankets and got me on another stretcher, and away we go, and the medic thinks I'm dead, and he's filling out my death report. I said, medic! All the shock had worn off, and I was in so much pain. Now, God has taken away the memory of the pain, but he did not take away the memory of how I reacted to the pain. And when the pain hit, I said, medic, it scared him so bad he almost jumped out of the helicopter. And the pilot lost control, and we're dropping like a rock, and I thought, oh, Lord, we're going to crash, and I'll be the only survivor. They got me to Saigon and then to Japan, and I really stupidly asked for a mirror, and they really stupidly brought it. And they held it over my face, and I looked up with my good eye, and I knew it was over. No teenage bride is gonna love a monster like me. And I knew it. And I knew that my first love would probably be my last love. So I decided to take it out of God's hands. I'll just go ahead and finish it now. And I tried to kill myself, and I'm so ashamed of that. And Mama, help me with your children. Brother Dave was wrong. All the drugs, all the pain, all the fear, the uncertainty, the visual image in that mirror, I just knew she couldn't love me. So I tried to kill myself. I didn't have a gun or a knife, so I pulled the tube out, and I laid my head back, and I waited with my hands folded to die. And I got hungry. It's the wrong tube. That's truth. I pulled out lunch. You can die that way, but if you smell one pizza, you're singing, plug it in, plug it in. You don't want to die. I got chewed out like I'd never been chewed out. Those doctors came over, and there's my life dripping on the floor, you know, my feeding tube. They let me know how wrong. They said, you know what, we're going to send you back to America. They thought I was going to die, so they were preparing Brenda to come escort my body home. Instead, they wrapped me up like a mummy, and put me on a big jet, a hospital airplane, and flew me all the way to Brook Army Medical Center in San Antonio, Texas. And I made it, obviously. No, I died and I didn't make it. They got me to Brook and put me in the intensive care unit, the ICU. And I'd never been in a hospital. I didn't know what an ICU was until they gave me that little robe. It doesn't come together. It's the ICU. I saw me and that was embarrassing. I walked backwards there where I went. But they put me in that ward with 12 others. There were 13 of us in there. You're looking at the only one that lived. I guess they call it survivor guilt, but people say to me, Dave, you never stop. You just don't slow down. You've got to rest. I know I do. I know, but I got 12 good reasons to fight a little harder, go a little further. Say a little more, stand a little more firm, 12 good reasons. And he said, well, you're burning the candle at both ends. I said, yeah, and I'm twice as bright. You just can't let up. And, you know, now I'm 71 in good health and happy. I think I can make it to 81. If Jesus tarries, I may make it to 85. I don't care how long I live, as long as God lets me do something for the kingdom. When he's through with me working, I'm out of here. I want to slide through the pearly gates with blisters on my feet and my hair on fire because I went through hell to get there. I mean it. I don't want to just get there. I want to get there in style. I want to pull the curtain back and show Jesus a million Vietnamese. The devil should have never picked a fight with me. Amen. And you say, well, that's a lot of big talk. That's a lot of bragging. Let me tell you something. I got reason to brag. So when I had a Vietnam veteran tell me once, he said, give me one good reason you'd help those people in Vietnam. I said, I'll give you 59,000 good reasons. One for every dead GI. Our Bible school a year and a half ago, our international Bible school, Global Reap, you can look it up online. It's amazing. In Vietnam alone, 1 year and 6 months ago, we enrolled our 59,000th student training for the ministry. What do you think of that? So I was there in the hospital for a year and 2 months. I remember that first day. I got to watch my time here because I know we got to be careful. But my first day, they let visitors come in, and a woman walked up to the man in the bed next to mine. She took off her ring and threw it at him. He was 100% third degree, no skin, guaranteed to die. She said, you're embarrassing. I couldn't walk down the street with you. And she walked out. He was first of 12. Right then, right there, let it go. My wife comes in to see me, and I'm thinking, she's more beautiful than I remembered. Holy cow. She's gorgeous. And I made a promise. I can't keep to her. And I looked over and I started looking at the tubes to see which one was the right one. And she got to my bed. And she told the doctor, she said, that's not my husband. He said, yes, it is. And he turned my wrist. There's my name on this little tag. And the whole time she's looking in my face, at my face, at my good eye. And she said, you know what? This is him. I don't know what she saw. But somewhere in the gate to my soul, she recognized something she loved. She said, this is him. And she bent down and kissed what was left of my face. And she said, I just want you to know I really love you. Welcome home, Davey. And when she says, Davey, hey, hey, hey. I said, Doc, I'm getting better. So a year and 2 months later, I walked out with suitcase in one hand, sweetheart in the other. A year and 2 months. And I went to the dude. I can't even begin to tell you, this church knows. I've had the greatest opportunity to minister in the greatest venues on this planet. Largest audience ever spoke to, 350,000. That's a bunch of people at one time. And today I still have great opportunity, but I'm not trying to brag. I want you to hear what I'm about to say. I had life, it's like my dad used to say, in a downhill pull, and it's going my way. Until September 11, 2001. And I had something rise up in me that was evil. I wanted to kill them. I never had that feeling again since that war in Vietnam. I wanted to kill those people that did that to us. They killed 3,000 people in 1 hour. A city is a smoking wreck because of some guys that didn't like Americans, didn't like Jews, and hate Jesus. You know, they're saying, we have the same God. Their God says, give me your son to die for me, and I'll make him a suicide bomber. My God says, I'll give you my son. He'll die for you and make you fishers of men. Which God do you want to serve? I'm just being honest. Don't get political on me. I earned my freedom of speech, and I'm exercising it. And I'm telling you, I'm glad I know Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I'm glad I know God, the true living God, the one living God. Go ahead, show your true colors. I'm going to tell you something. God gave me a lesson that I had yet to learn. And that lesson was not easily learned. I tried to join the military again. They said, you're 100% totally and permanently disabled, not counting mental. What's mental? I said, they said 240. I said, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. 2 weeks later, they called back and said, we have a job for you. Department of Defense made me this resiliency coach I told you about. They said, why don't you go to every base in America? So I went. Then they said in 03, why don't you go to all the bases downrange? And I went. And I never realized that all the years I spent speaking to public schools, I've done 33 high schools in this city alone, 33 of them. And I'm going to tell you something. I made friends all over America doing exactly in America what I did here. I go downrange to all these military installations. It never stops. Hey, Dave, you came to my school. What really gets me is, hey, Dave, you came to my school when I was in junior high. He's a 30-year veteran in the military and a colonel. I said, I'm not that old. I was. And I'm still doing public schools, getting ready to do some 2 university programs or whatever it is this coming week. I can't keep up with it. Dave and Kathy, that girl that sang, and her husband, they just point me and they say, okay, and then they wind me up and I talk. Well, let me hasten to my conclusion. God had a plan for my life, and he's got one for your life. And no matter what you've been through, he'll take your tragedy and turn it into a triumph. And God allowed me one of the greatest honors of my life, but one of the most tragic things I've ever done. The military would ask me to escort the remains of our fallen heroes across the Middle East to Baghdad, where they would be prepared for the long trip to the United States. And they would go to Dover Air Force Base, to Dover, Delaware, to the National Mortuary. I never had such a feeling come over me as I did looking at those, what they call transfer cases, but caskets draped with flags. And I would sit there and hear the drone of those engines across the, sometimes all night long. And I would wonder how many pastors, how many evangelists, how many doctors, maybe the cure for AIDS would have been brought about by the mind of one of these magnificent people who love their country more than their own life. Think about it. And I close by telling you that on one of my tours, I got in at midnight and we pulled up beside a big C-130 and they were offloading a truck with a casket to be shipped to America. And the chaplain was an Air Force chaplain because it's an Air Force airplane. And they do a little patriot service, they call it, right there. And all the friends, those warriors that were with that officer when he was killed were there, and they were on both sides of the ramp that went up into that C-130 aircraft. And he recognized me because I speak at the Air Force Academy. And he said, Mr. Reaver, would you join me? And I walked up in the aircraft with him and stood behind the casket. He said, would you pray? And I prayed. I said, God, please comfort this man's parents. They're dying 1,000 deaths today. Comfort them. Comfort these warriors that are standing here today with blood and mud and grime on them from that firefight that very day. And I said, and God, somewhere back home is his very best friend who hadn't got the news yet. Send someone to comfort his very best friend. I heard the whine of a Black Hawk as the big propeller on that thing started whipping the air. The general I was working for tapped his watch, motioned me to come, and I knew, time to go. We're starting what'd be the longest tour I'd ever done. It got long, from Thanksgiving up to almost Christmas, and I come home, I'm so tired, I can't even sleep on the trip home. And I get to Atlanta, and I'm sitting there waiting on a connection flight to take me to Colorado Springs. And I'm so tired, I can't sleep. My head's in a buzz. And a guy comes up and sits down, not next to me, but up against me, and his shoulder's touching my shoulder. I don't like men touching me. I said, a four-letter word came to my, and I just said, dude, what'd you think I said? I said, dude. He said, sir, I'm sorry. He said, I see you're in uniform. Are you coming back from the war? Are you a soldier? I said, no, I'm a contractor. He said, well, what do you do? And I told him. I said, what do you do? He said, well, I'm returning from the memorial of my very best friend. When he said those words, my hairpiece stood on end, you know? I said, your very best friend? He said, yeah. He He said, he was killed. I said, in Iraq? He said, yes. I said, Thanksgiving? Yes. Striker Brigade? Oh, mister, he said. His eyes were big, and now he's not touching me. He's laid back, and he said, who are you? I said, I'll tell you who I am. I'm the answer to my own prayer, and God sent me to comfort you. And I told him the rest of the story of his best friend and how he died heroically. And tears rolled down his face. And that day, I introduced the best friend of the last officer killed in Iraq to a brand new, very best friend, Jesus. He accepted the Lord right there in the airport. Wow. I am not this emotional. I'm allergic to the carpet. It makes my eyes water. So please, my nose just runs and everything. I love you guys. It's so good to be with you. Where I don't have to fit in a box. You don't make me feel like I have to perform. I can just be who I am. You're the best. That's thumbs up. I'm not shaking my fist at you. That's thumbs up. I gotta quit. I got a little short video. We're gonna roll a little video. It shows you what I do and where I've gone in the military, but it doesn't list the names because they're classified. Some of the places are classified. But if you are in active duty, you've probably been to some of these places. You'll recognize them, and then you'll see the most difficult job I do. I mentioned bringing them home. It's called the Angel Flight. I hope it touches your heart as you watch it.
03. Gear down 5 miles. We have a hero on board tonight.
Angel Flight Bravo 02, you are number one for landing. Welcome home.
That young warrior came home to a hero's welcome. Can you imagine what it'll be like when you and me, when we pass through those gates on our angel flight home? Heaven will rejoice. Are you ready for that trip? Are you? You're going through a dark time in your life? When I saw myself in the mirror that day and I saw the horror of the mess that I thought was no good, can never be helped, the doctors were rejoicing because they saw where I was gonna be. I saw where I was. Today, you may see where you are and think it's unworthy and no good and broken and can't be helped. But Jesus is looking what you are going to be. And he thinks you're beautiful. Give him a chance. Would you be willing to pray a prayer with me? I'm gonna lead a simple closing prayer. If you know Christ, repeat it with me, and we together shall renew our vows. But for those of you who don't know Christ, I want to make this as easy for you as I can, not make a spectacle of you. I just want you to know you'll never be in a safer place on this planet to make peace with God through Christ than right here, right now. You pray this prayer with us. As you make your vows, we'll renew ours, and God we'll bless this prayer together. Are you ready? Out loud, let's pray it. Lord Jesus, thank you. You gave yourself to me by giving yourself for me. You died for me. The law of sin is death. You sin, you die. You died for me. Thank you, Jesus. Forgive me of all my sins. And help me to understand, by myself I can't make it, but with you I can do all things. I can serve you successfully with you living in me. Come into my very life, Jesus. I accept you as my Savior and my Lord. Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap offering in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Can I ask you a question? This is something I really want to know. When you walked into this service this morning, do you recognize now in the light of what Christ has just done in a simple prayer, did you recognize when you came in this morning you were not in relationship with Christ and you know that you were just not right with God? You were walking in a path of destruction. But today, at this moment, right now, after this prayer, after this hour together, you'd be willing to say, Mr. Reaver, I believe Jesus just heard my prayer, and I'm going to make my first testimony. I'm going to raise my hand and say, yes, Jesus saved me this morning. Here's my hand. Count me in. Let me see your hands go up. All over the building. How many? Yes, yes, yes. Good. Well, praise the Lord. I like that. Thank you, Jesus. Good for you. I'm proud of you. You know, I'm sure Pastor's going to have instructions for you. He's coming right now to close this out. He'll give you some instructions and maybe further prayer with you. But I do want to tell you, there's going to be given to you a chance to make a contribution to our effort. After last week, I should be giving you some money. How in the world you guys gave an offering like that is utterly miraculous, and it shows your true colors. I am blown away. And I don't use the word blown away very often. But I will tell you that our ministry goes on, and what we do is very much like you gave to already. So it's going to be difficult for you to conceive of adding to what you've already done. But down in Texas, our married couples program has grown exponentially so big. We are building 8 new homes. They're small homes. And a brand new chapel. We never had a chapel there. We're building a brand new, gorgeous chapel. And Department of Defense is sending their married couples that are falling apart at the seams. And we're going to remarry them in the chapel. We're going to get them back on their feet. I need your help. And here's what we're doing. So you know exactly what you're giving to. The new cabins are not finished. I have to be ready to open on September 11th. And right now the chapel is almost done. We're putting in carpet, but we got to pay for all the air conditioning. I've got a $50,000 commitment looming right in front of me. If you can help with that, even a dollar helps. And I truly say this. Thank you for letting me mention that. I don't feel as awkward as you might think because I know that you know that I know how it is. I get it. I know you've given. I'm not asking you to go beyond what you've done unless you feel led of the Lord. I thank you for the privilege to minister to you today. I hope someday I get to come back for too long. My name is Dave Reaver, and I approved of this message. Thank you.
Love you, Dave. Let Dave know how much you love and appreciate him, would you?
Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. We love you, brother. We love you, man.